While Enron has declared bankruptcy, the company has not ceased to exist. For now, more than 14,000 of the company's 20,000 employees still work there. But that means thousands have been laid off. From Houston, NPR's Wade Goodwin has the story of two of them.
Walk up to the Enron building on Smith Street, and on first observation, there's no obvious sign of the financial disaster. But walk around the side and you'll see the local TV trucks and security guards and off-duty police roam the property, politely telling reporters to move on. The employees who still work there and visitors to the building describe a surreal office landscape, hundreds of empty desks and nothing much to do except work on your resume. Still, at least they have jobs for now. There are many who aren't so lucky. Scott and Denise Watson are two of them. For years, they rode the wave at Enron. He was the director of environmental health and safety, and she was a top executive assistant going to night school to get her MBA. They met at a company picnic and married 3 years ago. Scott and Denise both loved working at Enron.
I was just totally ecstatic. Enron had such wonderful things. They had an on-site doctor. We had our own cafeteria. You could have prescriptions delivered to the office, basically. There was just so many wonderful things.
32-year-old Denise Watson had been working at Enron for 10 years. Scott, who's 41, had been there for 6 years, promoted twice in that time. When Enron blew apart last fall, Watson had trouble believing it.
I was pretty much flabbergasted because, you know, here we are, Enron. Enron is Houston, pretty much. And, you know, I mean, you know, you were someone.
On December 3rd, in a span of 30 minutes, they were both let go. They've gone from having a happy, well-planned life to uncertainty and depression.
Yeah, I think we've probably both been kind of in a daze. I think there's still days, even this far into it, that I'm thinking, this is not possible. This was a great company. What, Fortune 7? How is this possible? I've worked there since I was 21 years old. We just really kind of had a, you know, a long-term future with them, we thought.
Denise was lucky. She's found another job as an executive assistant. Scott has been interviewing feverishly, but without a job, he feels adrift.
I'm used to going to bed early, and I'm staying up late. I'm used to at least sleeping until at least 4 or 5. I'm getting up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the mornings watching TV because I can't sleep.
As they talk about their misfortune, the Watsons are kind and supportive of one another, trying to help each other through this the best they can. But the Watsons lost $600,000 of retirement savings when the company collapsed, and that's difficult to let go.
Just in my account alone, I had $300,000 just in my 401. But when we sit down and did the math with the stock going from $80 a share down to 26 cents a share, with Denise and my stock options, our 401k in stock and things like that, which we only had just 30% of just Enron stock. There's other people that had probably 100% or close to just an Enron stock, and they've lost a heck of a lot more than we have.
Add to the Watsons' injuries a loss of faith. Denise says that Enron CEO Kenneth Lay was a father figure who she trusted completely. The top executives at Enron pocketed tens of millions of dollars before the company collapsed, and Watson feels betrayed.
Betrayed is a good word. I guess I blame all of those. Andy Fastow, Skilling. I think Skilling had a major part in it. I'm very bitter toward those guys. They're sitting there with all their chunks of money they cashed in, and then we're wondering how we're going to, you know, make our next house note. So, yeah, I'm a little hurt.
Scott and Denise Watson say that decisions about their future hang on whether Scott can land a job in the next 3 weeks. Wade Goodwin, NPR News, Houston.
The Watsons are just two of many thousands of Enron employees who feel betrayed by a company they say promised them the moon even after it knew it couldn't deliver.
This Thursday marks the beginning of a series of congressional hearings into the collapse of Enron. So far, 10 committees and subcommittees are investigating. Among the many questions they'll be asking are these.
Did Enron executives break the law when they sold large blocks of stock while telling employees everything was okay?
Was Enron's labyrinth of off-the-books partnerships illegal?
Did the accounting firm Arthur Andersen, which was both Enron's consultant and auditor, have a conflict of interest?
And should there be new laws to protect markets and investors from another spectacular failure playing out in secret with investors and regulators in the dark.
For more on Enron and the investigation, visit our website at www.npr.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.